What's up, folks? The Grace Baldridge is okay.
I love Grace. I'm happy to be here too. I haven't actually like.
Wow.
I haven't caught up with you guys in a while because I've been traveling, so I'm really excited. Oh. I'm very excited for the show, but also for the post game, just to like talk with you guys. Like,
yeah,
what's been on your mind?
The post
like, what's
game.
Let's catch up.
Okay, so now speaking of the post game, look, this is an excellent time to become a member. I'm telling you because I'm trying to look out for you. We're going back to paid in a couple of days, so. You can get free membership right now at tytnetwork.com/join. You get free for a month and use promo code free TYT. Because then you'll get to catch the post games. Grace, aren't the post games fun?
They're fun. I'm looking forward to them. I always have a blast.
And you get a whole month to go back in the archives, check out old post games.
Yeah. Okay. You can see how my hair has gotten shorter since I started working here. You know, that had nothing to do with me starting working here. It's just if you go back, I'll see old videos. And I had long hair.
You did.
I don't
have
know.
Long
I thought
hair.
I was like Alanis Morissette when I started, and now I'm getting very Kurt Cobain-y, which is my goal. So it's working out for me.
Right. And if you miss any part of the show, you can get it. You can download it, stream it. Tonight we got old school. You can get that and all the old school episodes. Ben and I are going to do it tonight. Aggressive progressives tomorrow. So there's just a ton of stuff that at least tool around, look around, and see what you get. And then tomorrow around 2:40, we're going live for everybody. With Vice President Al Gore. He's gonna be right here in the studio and it's gonna be excellent. Also, he's gonna stay and do a segment with us at the top of the show. But again, if you miss it, that's part of the reason why to become a member. TYTnetwork.com/join. And again, last couple of days for promo code free TYT. All right, I'm gonna give you just one other thing before we get going and Grace got the stories for us, which is the poll results from yesterday. So given that NFL players, 99% of them, according to a recent study, have traumatic brain injuries. Are you still going to continue watching football? Okay. And 56% said yes.
I knew it.
44% said no. That's still open. TYTnetwork.com/football. I forgot to vote. I'm going to go vote on it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but you already told everyone what you
were doing. But I want to have my say. I want to have my vote. I want it to count.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm a big believer in voting. Anyways, all right, Grace, what do you got for us?
All right, so let's start off with what's been hitting the news a lot is Trump's announcement that transgender people will not be allowed in the US military. Here's what we're talking about. Following Donald Trump's announcement that the US military would no longer accept trans people to serve in the armed forces, a lot of service members have been clapping back. One such individual is Kristen Beck. Kristen Beck is not just your average service member. Born Christopher Beck, she served for 20 years in the Navy with SEAL teams 1, 5, and eventually the Elite 6. She deployed 13 times over 2 decades, including stints in Bosnia, Iraq, and Afghanistan. She received the Bronze Star Award for Valor and the Purple Heart for wounds suffered in combat. If you don't believe me that she's this much of a badass, there is actually a really excellent documentary by CNN Films called Lady Valor. Let's take a look at Kristen Beck.
I am Senior Chief Chris Beck, currently in Afghanistan.
Christopher Beck served this country with great strength and great honor for 20 years.
He was a member of a special counterterrorism unit called SEAL Team 6.
He became an elite Navy SEAL and all the time carrying a burden that finally led him to make a drastic decision.
No one ever met the real me. No one knew anything.
Chris Beck details his transformation to become Kristen Beck.
In some ways, this is way more mentally and physically rigorous than many things I've done in my past.
We're Americans, and we are part of our country.
It's another mission,
and now I'm starting over.
It was a shock.
I had no clue. We're brothers, but I never saw a girly in them.
I like your outfit.
I think I got this out from you.
This is my new armor.
I'm here for any teen guy or teen girl.
Someone who wants to change their gender, it just doesn't seem to fit in with that lifestyle.
This is how you fight, this is how you shoot your weapons.
The real Kristen Beck.
I was beyond proud.
I fought for 20 years for life, liberty, and a pursuit of happiness. And I want some happiness.
This is my life.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. So Kristen Beck has a message for Donald Trump, which is basically, let's meet face to face. Kristen spoke out saying, let's meet face to face and you tell me I'm not worthy. Transgender doesn't matter. Do your service. Going on to say, being transgender doesn't affect anyone else. We are liberty's light. If you can't defend that for everyone, that's an American citizen. That's not right. And then going on to address Donald Trump's point about the money issue, that this is part of the budget. This isn't him being discriminatory. This is about, you know, making cuts for the military to serve its best. She says the money is negligible. You're talking about 0.0001% of the military budget. So she's not mincing her words. I want to get a reaction from you guys. And there are other trans service members that are speaking up, and we're going to get to that in a little bit. But first, after having watched that, just such a badass story, you can find, I believe, the full documentary on Netflix. I would recommend checking it out. What is your response? Do you think that this is okay that she's speaking out?
Do I think it's okay? I love it. And right, honestly, awesome. I didn't know anything about her until this terrible story broke today with what Trump is trying to do. And you know, I read what she had to say, and I hadn't seen that video. And watching that video gave me goosebumps. And you know, just seeing how heroic she is, and the fact that she served in the military for such a long time, 2 decades. And then, you know, her statement about fighting for, you know, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and how she wants happiness. She is beyond entitled to that happiness. You know, I'm just proud that she's an American, and she shouldn't face any type of persecution or discrimination. And it's sick that our commander in chief doesn't respect her.
So you can check out the trailer again in the link below that we'll have. CNN Films, great job there on that one. So she said, we are liberty's light. And she put her life on the line how many times to prove that out. And if she hasn't earned her freedom, who has? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you say to her, fight for our freedoms, but not your own.
Right.
That is a preposterous statement. And of all people, for Donald Trump to say this, he ran from service. He did 5 deferments in Vietnam. Now, some of it was because of school. Some people were legitimately in school. And you know, he was of the age where he could be in school. And his daddy got him into Penn, which he now brags about. I'd love to see your transcript, by the way. Anyway, he was out of school. And his dad got a doctor to write a letter about how he had bone spur in one of his feet. And then in the campaign trail, they asked him about it. He's like, I don't remember which foot. Yeah. Oh, it was so devastating that you had other people go die for you in Vietnam. But apparently it was so unimportant, you don't even remember which foot it was. You know why? Because you made it up. Because you're a rich jackass who inherited $200 million from your dad and then bragged about it for the rest of your life. You didn't go serve. Now these people want to serve. They want to be liberty's light, and you won't let them. So just quick suggestion for him, stand a post.
Yeah, well, what we're hearing from a lot of these transgender service members that are speaking up, that are so appalled by this from our commander in chief, is that they fight for individual liberty. It's what this country is founded on. Mm-hmm. It's a bipartisan liberty that we all have a right to. And another retired Sergeant Shane Ortega, a transgendered man who served as helicopter crew chief in the Army's 25th Infantry Division, has been through 3 combat tours, also spoke out. Speaking with Raw Story, this is a completely egotistical move on behalf of Donald Trump. I think he's honestly trying to circle the American people to deflect and detract the principles and goodwill of what it is to be an American service member. And he's trying to use them as pawns right now in order to invoke some sort of emotional reaction from the public to circumvent his own investigations that are going right now towards his impeachment. So what is your response to that?
Yeah, nailed it.
You think this is just a distraction?
I think it's a distraction, especially when you consider that this wasn't something that was in the works. He didn't have any communication with the Pentagon about this. The Pentagon was completely surprised by it.
It was so out of the blue. I couldn't believe, when I saw this rolling in on my Twitter feed, I wasn't sure of what I was seeing. Because you kind of see it trending before you go to the source a little bit. You see people tweeting about it, then you go back to the source material. It really did feel out of the blue, Anna. It was sort of, where is this coming from? It's in that sense, I do sort of wonder, is this a distraction? What am I now, all my attention is on this, where it was before we were talking about the investigation, talking about collusion.
Right, well, we should focus on all of it. And I think most Americans are smart enough to know what's going on and they're aware of what he's trying to do. And you know, I always like to look at, you know, the time that he tweets, and they're always super early in the morning, or in the, you know, 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning. In this case, they were 5 in the morning tweets. And when I woke up in the morning, you know, I get Apple News alerts, pick up my phone, and I read what Trump is doing. And I'm like, well, another day in America.
Yeah, right. You're always braced for impact, damage report.
Yeah.
What did he do today?
Yeah.
But in this case, it's I like how you're like really considering the other side, Grace. You're giving the benefit of that. No, the Pentagon was caught off guard. They're like, we have no policy on that. We have to change our policy. I don't know what he just did. Mm-hmm. So of course it's a political distraction. But anyway, he can live up to it. Now he's too late for Vietnam. Other people died, and he bragged. By the way, you should know this is amazing. For all you guys who think he's for veterans, first of all, he just now spoke out against all these brave veterans. Beck also has a Purple Heart for getting wounded in combat and Bronze Star Award for valor. So. I wonder who's more patriotic and more American and more for service. But now it's too late. The thing you should know, he said that, yeah, he didn't go to Vietnam, but avoiding STDs in the sex parties he was going to was his own personal Vietnam. That's who Donald Trump is.
Wow.
So listen, if you're ever going to try to kick someone out of the military, have your kids stand a post. Have all your Republican politicians voting with you stand a post. So Don Jr., Eric, you're doing sitting around doing nothing but getting yourself in trouble. Go and stand a post. Fill in for those trans service members you're trying to kick out.
Yeah. All right, moving on. We got sort of a non-response from my girl Ivanka.
Uh-huh.
Oh man. So Ivanka is reportedly opposed to Donald Trump, her father's trans ban in the military, but she's not going to speak out about it. God, this story is frustrating. Let's get into it. Okay, so the Daily Beast reports that even though she is against it, she doesn't want to raise too much of a stink because she has other pressing issues that are on her mind.
Like what?
I don't know. The more socially liberal factions of Trump's inner circle, including his family members and staffers Ivanka Trump and Jared Kushner, have been opposed to all the anti-LGBT initiatives of this administration. However, they quickly determined that their political capital be spent elsewhere, as one senior White House official characterized it. Given that their advice on LGBT issues has been routinely overruled, if not overlooked, by this administration and President Trump. Something that I've been seeing going around on Twitter is during Pride Month, when Ivanka got a lot of flack for not speaking out, she had some sort of a weak-ass tweet of, I support my LGBT, blah, 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 I'm an ally. And now this happens, and silence. So I'm reminded of the Harvey Milk quote, hope will never be silent. And she is being silent, so I've got no hope for her. Ivanka is just, I don't know what to do with her at this point.
Well, she was super insulted when she was accused of being complicit in some of the terrible things that Trump is doing. And okay, so I guess now I understand why she was so insulted. It's because she has limited political capital and she just can't spend it on things like protecting human rights and making sure that people aren't discriminated against in the military. So what are you good for? Mm-hmm. Like, what's the whole point of you being there? Because the argument from you over and over again is that you're gonna pull him to the left on some of these social issues. Which, by the way, according to Trump himself, when he was campaigning, you didn't even need to pull him to the left. He was to the left of Hillary when it came to the LGBT community, which is complete and utter bullshit, and you guys know that. I just, political capital, okay, where's your political capital going? That's what I wanna know.
Yeah, so we have yet to see her win on her so-called moderate position. So if she's like the Democrats keeping their powder dry. Man, mm-hmm. She got a lot of dry powder. I don't know when she's ever gonna use it. So look, I'm super realistic about politics. So for example, if she said, look, I'll just use my own example. I think we gotta get money out of politics before we do anything else, because that has a cascading effect on all the other issues. So if I said I'm prioritizing that so that we could win on the other issues, well, that would be a realistic and practical political calculation. If you say I am saving my political capital to be spent elsewhere, well, you're not telling me you're gonna get to it. You're not telling me that it's a strategy to eventually win on that issue. Mm-hmm. What you're saying is, I don't really care that much about you. So maybe I theoretically care about LGBT rights, but I'm not gonna do anything about it. But you're in a position of power. Mm-hmm. It's you're not a random person in the middle of New York. So it's one thing if you're not gonna vote or you're not gonna do anything when you're a truck driver. When you're sitting right next to the president of the United States who just made this decision, and you decide you're not even gonna say one word about it.
Yeah.
Then you don't get to say that you care about LGBT people or their rights.
And I know who Ivanka is, okay? I know so many straight people who are like, I'm an LGBT ally, but the T is silent. Is what they mean by that is it's really fun to have a gay best friend. Mm-hmm. I won't do anything for their rights, but it's cute on television that I can have Carson Kressley on The Apprentice and like be buddy buddies with him. That's who she is. She doesn't care about LGBT rights, because if she cared, This just wouldn't have happened. And it's so frustrating because she is just this beacon for other people who can say, I'm an LGBT ally, just like Ivanka. But she's not. You know, there's mm-hmm. so many people who will say, no, you know, Ivanka is an LGBT ally. No, she's absolutely not. She hasn't done anything to prove that. It's so much more than just tweeting out your support. You can't be an ally and not take action. Allyship should be a verb. You have to do stuff. You have to speak out. And she's given a golden opportunity to do that. And her silence is being complicit. Sorry, yeah. I know you hate that word, but it's your SNL perfume and you're dripping in it right now. You are complicit.
Yeah. Absolutely right. And one last thing. She is not a normal political player like Reince Priebus, for example, who has to be careful about his political capital and he doesn't want to burn bridges and Trump is crazy. You never know when he's going to fire someone, right? She's his daughter.
Yeah.
She is the person that he trusts most, and you can't fire your daughter, and he has shown no inclination. She's the one pillar that he has always actually supported. So, I mean, I know my relationship with my dad. I can't imagine. I don't care who he was or what position he had, that I'd be like, well, I don't want to burn my political capital with my dad to say that, hey, maybe we should, you know, treat all Americans the same. What a weird thing to say. Like, yeah, hey, dad, don't do that. LGBT right people are Americans just like everybody else. And hey, look at the case of Beck and the other people who serve in the military and have purple hearts and bronze stars and all that stuff. What he's going to be like? Oh, I disown you because you're for gay people. Is your dad that monstrous that he would cut you out, the one daughter, the one person he seems to trust, because you dared to speak in favor of gay rights once? Apparently that's your impression of your dad. That's why you chose to stay silent, because you thought, well, you know, that's how much he hates gay people. That if I just say something to him, I might get cut out of his political decisions.
Sad,
baby.
Sad. All right, should we go on to another story or take a quick break?
Let's do one more.
All right, let's do one more. So you may know Randall Stephenson as the chairman and the chief executive of the telecommunications giant AT&T, but did you also know that he is actually the president of the Boy Scouts of America? Now, of course, the Boy Scouts of America have been in the news because of their annual jamboree, which turned into one of the Cringe Fest 2017, in which President Donald Trump spawned on a bunch of 11 to 17-year-old boys to boo Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. Now, how does AT&T relate to the Boy Scouts of America? It's because there's a little bit of a deal in play going on that Randall Stephenson needs the Trump administration's approval to go through. In his other role, the role as the chairman in chief of AT&T, he has been trying to court Trump and the administration as AT&T shepherds its $85 billion deal for Time Warner through the Department of Justice. The department is currently conducting an antitrust review, which evaluates how the deal would affect competition in the industry. The process is supposed to be private and apolitical, but there are concerns in Congress that President Trump is trying to influence it. This, is, of course, comes after Donald Trump really hates Time Warner Cable's CNN, so he's not a big fan, and White House advisors have reportedly considered paywall, using their influence on the deal as leverage against CNN. And one advisor said the administration won't support the merger if CNN President Jeff Zucker remains in his role. And to make things look even worse, Stephenson himself has had several calls with the president, and he also visited Trump Tower before the inauguration. So now we're seeing a little bit of a tie about how that annual jamboree got so out of hand, and why, you know, the Boy Scouts of America haven't really done that much to apologize. They issued an apology, but it was a little weak sauce for me.
Yeah.
And now this deal, we know about this deal. There's a connection here, I would say.
So just to clarify a few things, they did not release an apology. What they did was explain that.
Oh, yeah.
They were like, you know, I mean, it's just tradition. Like, we have the president come and speak. Mm-hmm. And it's true. They usually have the acting president come and give a speech. And so, you know, some people kind of like didn't like it, but this is just what we do. Sorry.
It's actually, I was being very generous in characterizing it as an apology because it really was just them saying we're nonpartisan.
Right.
That was it. That was pretty much it.
And the reason why they had to release a statement is because so many parents who have their sons in the Boy Scouts were disturbed by that rambling mess of a political speech, political rally speech that Trump gave to these kids. So
Children, teenage boys.
Yeah.
Not even constituents. Like, I mean, they're not, who are they voting for?
Yeah.
So there's two traditions here. One is that the sitting president of the United States is an honorary president of the Boy Scouts of America. They get invited every year. They don't often go, Obama spoke to them in 2010 and then Trump did it this year. The second tradition is that if they do speak to the Boy Scouts, it has to be very nonpartisan, nonpolitical. And so that tradition is completely violated. So their statement saying we just follow tradition is actually not true. Mm. So now, does Stevenson care more about Boy Scouts and Weeblos or the $85 billion deal that he's got cooking with Time Warner? Mm-hmm. Of course he cares more about the deal. So now this story is actually a tiny bit more complicated because Trump is pretending to be against the deal. And he is using his leverage to try to get Jeff Zucker fired from CNN, yeah. Which is like everybody's shocked and chagrined by that. But the reality is that presidents do that. They do, but they're smart enough to do it behind the scenes. Trump is too stupid to realize you're not supposed to just say it. So he just says it, then it seems like political interference. But the reality is that Republicans are going to approve this merger. Okay, I don't know if Trump will be around long enough to approve it, but if he is, he will. And other Republicans will, because there's a lot of money to be made, and these are their donors, and that's why this guy, the Randall Stephenson from AT&T, is on the advisory boards, and he went to Trump Tower, and he's making calls, and he's inviting the president, the Boy Scouts. That's not, I mean, like they get normally invited anyway, but all the rest of it is because he's trying to smooth things over and get that merger approved. And when Republican donors are on the line, it's gonna get approved, mark my words.
I think you're right in predicting that it's gonna get approved. And even though, you know, there's an issue with the Boy Scouts of America president, you know, being tied to this massive telecommunications company, the real issue, in my opinion, is the fact that, you know, there will be less competition when it comes to these telecommunications companies. You have these two giants merging with one another. And that means higher prices, worse service. And I mean, we're already dealing with extremely expensive prices and terrible service when it comes to these companies as it is. It's going to be even worse, right? And so you want to talk about monopoly. This is a monopoly.
Also, it is kind of interesting to see Donald Trump jerk this guy around because he spoke out against the deal. He said it concentrates too much power in the hands of too few, but then he also praised his management style at a White House meeting on technology in June. So it's really strange that, you know, that Trump is just trying to puppeteer this. It kind of reminds me of how he was with Mitt Romney back when, you know, when we had that really sad dinner photo. I feel like he's kind of doing that behind a little bit more behind the scenes with Randall Stephenson. I'm like, dude, you have no shame here.
No, of course he has no shame.
Of course he has no shame. But I'm always, at this point, I really couldn't be surprised.
God, you know, Grace, you're so cute.
I know. You're like so innocent. I know. Just stay here for like 10 more years and you'll turn into me.
Okay.
You'll be a terribly sad person.
No. All right, I'll tell you, look, last thing. The reason he did all that is not because he's like a sophisticated strategist. Come on, Trump. No, he said the things about how he's not going to approve it during the campaign when he was trying to sound like a populist. Oh man, the media is too concentrated. You know what I'm saying? Everybody hates the media. They're like, yeah. And then he gets in the office. He's like, what do you mean? This guy's rich. These are the successful people. Mm-hmm. These are the smart people.
Yeah.
Like, we never got to that story from yesterday, but actually it's related to this. The Boy Scouts, during that speech, he gave this long rambling anecdote about this guy that he knew who was really rich, and he used to respect him in New York when he was first coming up. And he said, and he had retired, he made good money, but then he wanted to get back in the game, and then he rebought his company, and then he went bankrupt, and he was not successful anymore. And he was at a party with a lot of successful rich people, and he said, and the guy was kind of standing alone in the room by himself because nobody respected him anymore. I don't know why he told the story, okay? But
wow.
Like,
there is so much from that speech.
Yeah. No, really. And then, but the thing that was really jarring to me was he was saying, he called them the great people. Mm-hmm. The rich people in the room were the great people. Okay, they're not like everybody else. So his view is, well, Randall Stephenson, he's very successful and rich. He's one of the great people. Remember when he said a couple of weeks ago, he said, no, of course I don't want poor people in my government. No, I want great people.
Yeah, I want a swamp.
Right.
Yeah, I want a swamp full of corporate assholes that want to destroy the country.
Yeah.
For their personal gain. Yeah.
So during the campaign, I'm for the little guy and I love average American and I'm looking out for you. He gets into office. No, I don't want you trash in here, okay? No, I'm going to get billionaires and we're going to rebuild the swamp and that's how we're going to do this thing.
I feel like Donald Trump went on a wonderful Louisiana swamp tour and he was like, swamps are actually great. Like, look at this beautiful ecosystem. I should get more swamp people into my administration. It'll be just as beautiful.
Well, look, last thing that we'll take the break is that it's in the same Boy Scouts speech. Every speech is full of
I would like someone at this network to give a dramatic reading of that speech at some point in time.
That's not a bad idea. You're on to something
it's
there.
It's not a bad idea.
Yeah. Anyway, in this speech, he talked about the swamp, which is so political, right? He's like, oh, I hate Washington. Don't you hate Washington? They're 11 to 17 years old.
Can you imagine being an 11-year-old boy and you're like,
right.
What?
Right, and he's like, you know, it's the swamp. But you know, I got a clever new name for it. I'm thinking of calling it the cesspool or maybe even the sewer. Like, that's not remotely clever. Like, there's nothing clever about that at all. And why are you talking about sewers to 11 to 17-year-old boys who came there, right?
Yeah, he's just trying to inspire them.
Okay, that's Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right, we got to take a quick break. There's a really disturbing story, two disturbing stories when we come back. We're the only people in America who tease things with, you'll be disturbed if you continue to watch our show. One of them is about how authorities can break into your phone. And they have. They just did it to protesters. And then how they shot the wrong guy in Mississippi. But I'm outraged about that story because everybody's emphasizing that it was the wrong guy.
Yeah.
So if I'll talk about what would happen if they shot the right guy. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, all right, all that when we come back. All right, back on the Young Turks, Cenk, Grace, and Anna with you. I like this combo. I don't think we've ever done this combo.
I like it too.
No, I don't think so.
This is fun.
There's lots of combos. Mark Tosiello writes in, hey man, it's not Al Gore. You know, it's Al Gore, of course. That's funny. I kind of like that. Benjamin Buckland says, I stand with all trans people, military service or not, let alone people like Kristen Beck, hero. We fight for individual liberty. That's another great point.
Yeah.
And the members of the day are Stuart Grossman and Julie Sonnenberg. Thank you, guys. Stuart and Julie, we got a fun post game for you guys. We saw an Inconvenient Sequel last night. Anna has a point that she wants to make about a compelling scene in that movie, which is going to lead to a larger discussion. And of course, Al Gore coming into the studio tomorrow.
So cool.
Isn't it?
I didn't know about that until I was sitting down here and the words came out of your mouth. I had no idea.
He's a good guy.
I just read a magazine on my United Airlines flight about him. They did an article on him. I was reading, I was like, this guy's so cool. Now he's coming to the studio tomorrow. What a life.
I have so much to say about him, postgame.
Okay, postgame,
all right. So if you want to watch that postgame, if for whatever reason you miss it around, I keep saying 2:40 because that's Pacific. It's actually 5:40 Eastern, right? And then the show starts at 6 and he's going to be in the first segment too. But if you miss any part of the show, you download it, stream it ad-free and get all the other shows, including Old School Tonight, if you end the postgames. If you become a member, there's only a couple of days left where you can get a free trial membership of a month. So tytnetwork.com/join and use the promo code FREETYT. All right, what's next?
All right. Following protests for the 2016 presidential inauguration, officials seized phones of some of the protesters and are now trying to crack those phones in order to charge them of conspiracy to riot. Let's break down what's happening. Prosecutors have indicted over 200 people on felony riot charges for protests in Washington, D.C. on January 20th that broke windows and damaged vehicles. Some defendants face up to 75 years in prison despite little evidence against them, but a new court filing reveals that investigators have been able to crack track into at least 8 defendants' locked cell phones. How did they get their cell phones? How were these people rounded up? This is what happened. DC police officers channeled hundreds of people into a narrow blockaded corner where they carried out mass arrests of everyone in the area. Some of those people, including a journalist and 2 allegedly peaceful protesters, are now suing for wrongful arrest. Now, while they were doing that, they seized more than 100 cell phones from defendants and other unindicted arrestees. And as of now, you know, for a while we didn't know what was going on with these cell phones, but we do have court documents that now show that investigators were successful in opening some of the locked phones. 8 seized phones, 6 of which were encrypted and 2 were not encrypted. What does that mean? Prosecutors moved to use a wealth of information from the phones as evidence, including the phone's call detail records, SMS or MMS messages, contact logs, email logs, chats or other messaging applications, website search history and website history and images or videos, so long as the data related to January 20th, the protest or other people suspected to have been involved in the protest. But that is so vague. I don't know how you sort of discern that. I want to get a response from you guys because, Anna, we were talking about this story before we went to tape and you really had a focal point on what you think the core problem with the story is.
Well, core problem number one, I think there's a few core problems, but problem number one is that these were mass arrests. And while I concede that there were people who were rioting and were breaking windows and should be punished as a result of that, there were individuals who were simply covering what was going on. Journalists were there. Journalists were doing what journalists are supposed to do, reporting on, you know, these protests and what was occurring. And so at least one of these journalists is now suing for wrongful arrest, something that you mentioned. And so if you're doing these mass arrests and you're indiscriminately arresting everyone that just happens to be in the area, well, then we already have a little bit of a problem, right? Mm-hmm. But then they take away their phones, they keep the phones, and then proceed to go through the data on those phones, the browsing history, the pictures, the text messages, all that stuff. And I see that as problematic, especially if someone was innocent and wasn't there trying to cause any problems. If you're looking through someone's phone and you don't have the context of, you know, what you're looking at, you can make a big deal out of something that's not a big deal at all. So for instance, if I'm reading news on my phone and I'm reading some articles that are anti-Trump, is that going to be used against me if I'm being prosecuted? If I've been wrongfully arrested for covering those protests and then they're prosecuting me for being a rioter, right? Could they use that against me?
Right, and as of now, what the Daily Beast is reporting is that it's unclear what they're looking for in these phones. So the exact contents of the 2 unencrypted phones that they are able to search or whether prosecutors will attempt to introduce evidence from other cracked phones is unclear, but Mark Goldstone, a lawyer representing 6 of the accused, said the footage is less than damning. He says, quote, here's your client at the beginning of the march wearing black clothes and goggles. Your client could have left but did not. And here's your client at the end in the police kettle. It's just you don't really know what they're looking for. They haven't really released what exactly they're what would be incriminating. What is the evidence that they're looking for?
I feel like anything could be incriminating.
That's what I'm kind of nervous about. That's what the unsettling feeling that I'm getting from this story is that you could kind of look through anyone's phone searchers and you know my fascination with true crime and murder and be like, well, super murderer. It feels like such a breach of privacy.
Yeah, so there's a number of issues here. You guys already talked about the penning everybody together based on where they were in the protest.
Right.
Secondarily, look, if somebody's doing property crimes and they're breaking a window, you arrest them for that. Of course, right? Facing 75 years in prison?
That seems a little crazy.
Okay, yeah. Now, they very likely won't get 75 years in prison, okay? But still, those charges are way, way overcharging. Mm-hmm. And so, then second of all, okay, now you're putting in a riot charge in there. No, dude, if the guy broke a window, arrest them, no question about it. They broke another law, arrest them. Now you're charging everybody in the neighborhood, in that vicinity with riot. What does that mean? Mm-hmm. And now you're adding like these enormous sentences on top because you were rioting. No. If there's a specific crime, arrest the person for that crime, okay? Because then you could call protesting a riot. Right?
Yeah, conspiracy to riot sounds a lot like guilty by association.
Right. Yeah. Or yes, exactly. And then, you know, the thing about looking through their phones and trying to find like incriminating evidence. I mean, This is the reason why you don't look through your significant other's phone, right? Because you will find something that is probably not a big deal, but you're gonna end up making a big deal about it, right? And so I feel I'm a little worried that they're gonna find stuff that isn't actual evidence that they were, you know, guilty of conspiracy to riot, and they're gonna use it against these people.
Definitely. So when they say, oh no, we're only looking at stuff related to January 20th. Sure. You didn't go through their whole phones. They're like, wait, that doesn't look like it's exactly related to January 20th. Let's put aside the naked pictures of their girlfriends. No, they're all looking at them. Once they break into your phone, they're gonna look at everything in your phone. It's a gross, gross violation of privacy. Now, if they had you committing a violent act, well then looking at your phone for evidence is way more justifiable. They can get a warrant, etc., right? But if they just grabbed you because you were in a neighborhood and then they break into your phone, that's a terrible violation of your privacy. Yep. And so I don't want the government doing that to any of us. I don't want them doing it to right wingers, left wingers, or anybody. You should be allowed to protest. It's your most American right there is.
Right.
So finally, look, if you're gonna convict people of very serious charges, you have to have a lot better evidence than the dude was wearing black in the beginning, he was wearing black at the end. That doesn't prove anything. Now look, as a reasonable person, I look at that and go, that guy's probably black bloc, right? Mm-hmm. Whatever they're calling themselves, yeah, they came out and they wanted to cause a ruckus, and some of them had the intent to do property destruction, okay? But that doesn't mean that guy is guilty of those crimes if you don't have evidence on him.
That's right.
Like saying that, like somebody in the crowd of 200, they arrested 200 people. Somebody in the crowd of 200 or two or three people, I don't know how many people, that committed acts of violence or property destruction in the crowd of 200, and all 200, and then this is not even true, but some portion of the 200 were wearing black in the beginning and they were wearing black at the end.
Yeah.
That is the worst case in American history. Of course they're free to go. That's not proving your case.
All right, final thought.
I just wanna make one quick thought or one quick point about what I think is really going on with this case. This is a form of intimidation because it sends a really strong message to anyone who wants to protest, who wants to speak truth to power, that if anyone happens to do anything even remotely illegal or violent in the middle of that protest, you could get rounded up and you could face some pretty serious charges, right? If you follow the news and you come across this story and you hear about what happened to these people, especially reporters who happen to be there covering the event or covering the protest, well then are you really gonna be, you know, encouraged to go out there and join a protest against anyone, right?
So these guys who commit that any kind of violence or illegal activity is so counterproductive, it's maddening. Like you couldn't help right-wingers and Trump more if you tried. But what it did, Anna's absolutely right. If you're a peaceful protester, the cops are sending a message, don't come out. Because if anyone does anything wrong in the protest, we can arrest you too and then break into your phone and look for stuff. And that's a terrible message to send in a democracy.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. Another heartbreaking story. A man in South Haven, Mississippi was fatally shot and killed after police mistook his house for the house of a suspect. The man had no active warrants. South Haven police on Monday killed resident Ismael Lopez on Monday evening after arriving at his house in an attempt to serve an arrest warrant for a man named Samuel Pearman, whose house was located about a dozen yards away from Lopez's. His wife told their local news, Action News 5, that she and her husband were sleeping and they heard some commotion. He went out to investigate, and the next thing that she knew, he had been shot by police and was lying dead on the floor. Attorney Murray Wells, who is representing Lopez's family, says that the bullet holes suggest police shot through the door of Lopez's house. Police claim that Lopez opened the door and pointed a gun at them and that they only shot him after repeatedly asking him to drop his weapon. However, some neighbors are disputing the officer's account because they didn't really, that's not what they heard. A lot of people were awoken by this commotion. And the lawyer goes on to say, Wells implied that officers had reasons not to tell the truth in their account of what happened, namely because they could face consequences for shooting Lopez. He also said that Claudia, who was the only one on the property who could not be held responsible for shooting Lopez, did not hear any commands or instructions being given. In addition, Wells said Lopez never pointed a gun at the officers. And just sort of closing in his memory, they've been in that home for 13 years, and the only time the police had ever been there was when they had been robbed before. No criminal history whatsoever. A longstanding employee of the city of Bartlett mechanic loved in the neighborhood. This is an incredibly tragic story. Jenk, I kind of want to toss it to you because you said that your take on this was it was less about the police shot the wrong guy. It's what if they shot the right guy? You know, I think the narrative here has gotten a little muddled at how we've been seeing it reported.
Real quick though, before you jump in on that, I just want to make a quick statement about how the cops are claiming that he was pointing a gun at them and that's the reason why they decided to open fire. Why is there a gunshot or a bullet hole through the door?
Yeah.
Right? Like that's just very strange to me. So you're saying that you could see through the door and he was holding a gun and refused to put it down and then you shot him. It's so just weird. Anyway.
This seems like a classic case of shooting too early, which is now the millionth story in a row we've done about cops who shoot too early. So you don't even know who the guy is. You went to the wrong house. You didn't bother asking him. Hey, who are you? You might have shot too early if you didn't ask who he is. And so let's break it down in 18 different ways. First off, you're going to a house in the middle of Mississippi in the middle of the night. And even if what the cop story is true, which no witnesses agree to, every witness says first thing they hear is the shots. They don't hear any commands to put a gun down. There's a bullet in the door. So none of their story is corroborated. But even if it was true, you're surprised that a guy comes out with a gun in the middle of Mississippi? Everybody's got a gun in Mississippi. Or shouldn't you be prepared for that moment? Like, hey, look, if we're going to arrest someone, and he's not like the guy that they were trying to get is not some sort of crime lord. It was a domestic assault from before. It's not like it was an emergency situation and oh my God, he's got a gun and he might use it. No, they go and they're going to go serve this warrant or whatever and arrest the guy. And you think, hey, maybe a house that in the middle of the night in Mississippi when I riled him up, the guy might have a gun. And let's plan out how we're going to handle that. Instead, who cares, just shoot him through the door. Or even in their scenario, the guy comes out with a gun and they're like, all right, we asked him a couple times, just kill him. Just kill him already, let's move on. Well, look, if you're a Republican, how many of you have guns? So if they wake you up in the middle of the night and you don't know who it is, you don't know that it's cops.
Right.
You're in the middle of Mississippi, right. It could be anybody. But a bunch of guys pointing guns at you, what would you do? You'd probably come out with your gun, right? You're going to get killed. Because they're not going to ask questions. They're going to give you, at best, in their scenario, a couple of seconds before that you're dead. Okay? Now, that's their best case scenario.
Right.
That the guy actually showed up with a gun that he has a right to carry.
Right.
But in reality, the evidence says, from what they can gather, okay, the gun's not near the body.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's Mississippi, the guy's got a gun, it's in the house, but it's somewhere else. So wait, what, did he go pack the gun after he was dead? Okay, why is there a bullet in the door? Why are no witnesses corroborating your story? And oh, hey, authorities covering up for their own mistakes. Oh, well, that's gotta be a first. So even if they shot the right guy, it would have been hideous. And of course, the guy says he didn't do the domestic assault, but it doesn't matter. You arrest someone for domestic assault, you don't execute them for domestic assault. And you don't execute someone within 2 seconds because, oh, I don't know, I'm never taking a chance, man. I'm gonna rile people up in the middle of the night, and if they even look at me weird, or I don't even see them, who cares? Just shoot them through the door, who cares? Yeah. I'm not gonna take any chances. My training told me everybody's a threat. There are no citizens I'm trying to protect. Oh, I'm only trying to protect myself. Just shoot the citizens, kill them, and move on with your life.
Right, and this could have happened to anyone in the neighborhood. They didn't take, you know, any extra time to verify the address of the person that they were supposed to go to, right? And by the way, obviously that man in this scenario is extremely lucky because he's alive today, right? He would have, I mean, almost certainly be dead if they had gone to the right house. Mm-hmm. And so, in this case, it's in the middle of the night. So just put yourself in that situation, okay? You're in bed with your spouse. You hear commotion at your front door. You don't know who it is. I would panic if it's the middle of the night and I hear that commotion at my front door. You know, and so you go and you're confused. You don't know what's going on. People are talking to you, they're cops. Who knows what they said to him? He was probably still confused. I don't know how it all went down. We all don't know, you know, the specifics of how it went down. But the way that they handled the situation, even in the best case for the cops, was terrible, was terrible. That's not the way that you're supposed to handle a situation like this.
All right, last thing is, look, if you had no sympathy for African Americans who keep getting shot when they don't have weapons on them, now, congratulations, we've made the cops so jittery, our training of them is so miserable, and there's never any consequences. Now they don't care about your race. You got the woman, the yoga instructor, shot dead in Minnesota, and now they don't know the guy's race. They didn't even open the door.
Yeah.
Right? So they're like, I don't care, man. They told me there's no consequences and I should never, ever, ever, ever take a risk with my life. So just kill him before I even see him. So how do they know you're a good, honorable, right-wing Republican? They don't. They're going to come for you too.
All right. Let's try and fly through this last story, which we will end on a positive note. So the neighbors called police on some black kids playing football. And what happened was the Buffalo police showed up to join the game. It was they called because they were they said that there was a noise disruption. An officer, Patrick McDonald, showed up and this is what he did. Let's take a look at the video.
I think you better burn.
Is he?
I can't be running any faster. Oh, where are we lining up? We're going to blow the
phone. Wait, I would have had it. Look
out, Clint. Wait, what did I get in? Hey, it's just 2-on-2 real quick.
Got it?
Bad. Yo.
Uh-oh.
Right there.
Right there. Officer
Kelly, turn up just a little bit.
Yeah, do you want me to do a police report?
So I want to clarify because that was such a great line. So he had a great catch in there, the cop did. Mm-hmm. And he said, you want me to, at the end, he said to the kids, you want me to file a police report? Because you just got robbed.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
The video on Facebook has been shared over 1,000 times and has actually been celebrated by Buffalo Mayor Byron Brown, who called it community policing at its best. He says, quote, I applaud Officer Patrick McDonald for turning a nuisance call into a positive experience for the community. I am proud that he is on the force and thank him for setting an example of why we truly are the city of good neighbors.
So
I think I love this story. It's a positive one to end on. I will say that if I were driving in that neighborhood and there were some kids playing ball in the street, I'd be like, get out of the street, kids. I don't think I would call the police, though. It's strange that someone called in a nuisance.
Right.
Like
I know, but like homeowners are unbearable. They are. I'm just keeping it 100. So whatever, someone's going to call the cops. It always happens. Mm-hmm. And the way that cop handled it was just so great. And there are good cops out there. I mean, we say it all the time, but you know, there's a perfect example.
So so look, when I was a kid, it depends, right? So we did a story about skateboarders who are zooming down the hills in San Francisco, and that's a potential danger for a lot of folks.
Right.
But when I was a kid and we played kickball in the streets in the suburbs, nobody called the cops, and mm-hmm. the cops weren't like, oh my God, it's a national emergency. So the cop comes here and looks at it and goes, this is not an emergency. Nobody's in danger here. They're just playing in the streets like we did when we were kids. So he does the right thing here. He used human judgment. God bless your heart. Of course, don't stereotype, right? So yes, I think police training is wrong in a lot of ways and they overreact. But that doesn't mean all cops are bad. That's crazy. And it also doesn't mean all cops are good. This story doesn't mean that all the cops are saints. Just use human judgment. So great job in this case with this police officer. All right, we gotta go. We love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow. Al Gore on the show tomorrow. All right, bye-bye.